Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Coming up here in about 25 minutes after we get more of your answers to the question, what is the appeal that Oprah Winfrey has with women? Bob Lico will join us. We'll talk about, well, this is part four of an ongoing series we're doing occasionally with Bob on the sacred cows of the Word Faith movement. The fourth sacred cow, he says, are the laws of faith and confession. Those sound so good, don't they? Laws of faith and confession. Well, in the Word Faith movement, that means something quite a bit different. Even the word faith means something different. Bob Lico will explain it to us coming up in about 25 minutes on Issues, Etc. Then we'll have a little bit more open lines. We'll be hearing from T.D. Jakes. He was preaching at the Global Day of Prayer down in Dallas on Sunday. There was a Global Day of Prayer gathering at Busch Stadium Sunday here in St. Louis. Garnered a couple thousand people there as well. T.D. Jakes was preaching. We'll hear a few things that he had to say at the Global Day of Prayer service Sunday down in Dallas. And then you may have seen this in the paper. I've seen it everywhere, and people have been sending me email about this, that the Episcopalians and the Catholics appear, maybe have, come to some basic agreement on the Virgin Mary. We'll be hearing from a spokesperson for the Catholic Church on the basic disagreement or agreement on the Marian issues between the Episcopalian Church and the Catholic Church. That's coming up here in about an hour. And then in the last half hour, Clem Preuss is going to be our guest. We're going to be talking with him about Good Works. He's author of our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for May, The Fire and the Staff. Now, there is no doubt that a worldview is represented by Oprah Winfrey. Now, you might find it quite appealing, a worldview of success, of kind of a broad spirituality, openness to all sorts of ideas, accessibility, practical. A woman's worldview, perhaps, or at least the modern woman's worldview, Oprah's worldview, one that I dare say will not be in evidence at a confessional Christian worldview seminar at the Schwann Center this summer in Trago, Wisconsin. They're going to be discussing things like Islam's threat to the West, the new polytheism. Now, there's a tie-in with Oprah Winfrey. The new polytheism, that was in evidence a couple years ago when Oprah Winfrey, after September 11th, who was called upon to preside in New York City at the big interreligious service in Yankee Stadium? Who was called upon to preside at this service? Pastor Oprah. And her congregants were there as well. Again, something you will not find at a confessional Christian worldview at the Schwann Center this summer in Trago, Wisconsin. For more information on this Christian worldview seminar, for cost, for registration, for housing, all of those questions, call the Schwann Center at 1-800-577-4848, 1-800-577-4848. The conference is held June the 26th through July the 2nd, or you can go to our website for more information as well. You can attend this for a day, 2 days, 3 days, or as long as the conference lasts. And you can probably attend the entire thing for as little as $400. It includes 16 meals, lodging, and everything else, registration fees, and depending on the lodging needs that you have there. The food is great, by the way. Hot and on time at the Schwann Center in Trago, Wisconsin. 1-800-577-4848 or go to our website, issuesetc.org. Right there on the homepage, you will see the Schwann Center logo. Click on it, and you'll find out more about a confessional Christian worldview seminar this summer at the Schwann Center in Trago, Wisconsin. What is Oprah's appeal? 1-800-730-2727 or 505-7850. Let's talk with Doris in St. Louis. Doris, thank you for waiting and welcome to Issues, Etc.
Yes, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I look at Oprah sometimes, and sometimes I don't. Sometimes I agree with her, and sometimes I don't. She's just entertainment. However, I did not believe in her idea of the different paths to salvation. As she said, there were many paths. And I agree with some of the women on the show that there's only one path, being a Christian, that's through Jesus Christ.
Well, I'm very glad to hear that. When she does, and she does have a regular segments on spirituality and the spiritual life, and very often that view, that kind of very pluralistic view, many paths,
yes,
all paths lead to the same God view, is expressed.
Right.
Do you turn her off then? Do you wish she would avoid religious issues like that?
No, I like to hear both sides. But I want to jump to something else. The caller before me, or a couple of calls before me, mentioned that Oprah was comfortable, would make you feel comfortable, and she's sincere. I disagree with that. I just think that Oprah is not sincere, that she's very phony.
Really?
And it's like having to, once you tell a lie, you have to continue to tell a lie to stay abreast of you forget what you're saying. I don't think she's as serious as she would like to be, hope that she would be sincere. I think she's searching for herself. I believe this is pretty strong, but I think Oprah is trying to find who Oprah is.
Doris, thank you for the call. Well, I think Oprah might agree with the last point, that she is still searching, still becoming as self-actualized as many women believe her to be. She would probably be the first one to say, no, I am still in process, a work in progress. So I think she would probably agree with that last point. Okay, so Ruthie says that Oprah is accessible. Doris says, no, that I don't get that impression at all. So even women who do watch Oprah, appeals for various different reasons, will disagree on this. What was it? What was it that appealed to you the last time you turned on and watched Oprah Winfrey? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Now, the story in the Washington Post from Eugene Robinson last week called Church of Oprah, where Robinson lays out his position. He thinks it's become a church for all intents and purposes, that Oprah is the pastor, the viewers, the people who attend her personal appearances are her congregation. Do you agree or do you disagree? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Has it become the Church of Oprah? Also, what is the appeal? Enlighten me and the men who are listening who may not hear it as well. Women, enlighten us as to what Oprah's appeal to you is. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. In St. Charles, Nancy, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Yes, hi, Todd. I guess I don't, first of all, I do not watch Oprah that often because usually I'm not home from work at the time she comes on. But in the summer, I tune her in occasionally. And the programs that I have watched, I have usually found to be entertaining, as your previous caller said, and also somewhat educational in some ways. I remember one program I watched was about an autistic young man who actually there was a book that she was also promoting that he had written, and how he came out of his autistic behavior to some extent and was able to socialize. And I found that particularly interesting since I live near an adult who was autistic, and I always had trouble relating to him. So that was interesting to me and educational. Sometimes she'll have a star on there, and I'm really not a movie star follower, but usually I will recognize the names of the men or women that she has. And she asks questions that I would, if I were sitting with that movie star, I would never have enough nerve to ask. And so that's kind of fun to listen to. Sometimes when she has weird things on, like ladies who will not change their hairstyles for 20 years, or messy houses, or people who won't throw things away. Sometimes we think about ourselves as having not such an up-to-date hairstyle or not such a neat home. But after we've seen their guests and had a good laugh over what some people do in their homes or whatever, then somehow you feel that, well, maybe I'm not as messed up as I thought I was.
Now, that's interesting you say that, Nancy, and thank you for being so honest about all of those things that you find interesting and appealing about Oprah Winfrey's program when you do watch it. She said she is not a big Oprah watcher, but when she does watch, she watches for the entertainment there. A couple things. So there's a reality TV aspect to this. You get to look into other people's lives, a little bit of voyeurism. And then once you look into someone else's fairly messed up life, you say, hey, I'm pretty normal after all. Because everyone secretly wakes up every morning suspecting that they have the messiest house in the world, or that they have the most ill-behaved children in the world. And so when they see someone else, either on reality TV or on Oprah Winfrey, who's got it worse, they walk away saying, hey, I guess we're not so bad after all. And maybe those dishes in the that have been sitting in the dishwasher for 4 days straight are not that unusual. I feel more normal now that, and Oprah helped me feel more normal. I mean, that's got to be appealing, I imagine. What about the rest of you? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Now, I do have to say that when she has the stars on, Oprah can have anyone on her program she wants. I imagine there are publicists all over Hollywood who, if receiving a call from one of Oprah's producers, say, would so-and-so like to come on, say, absolutely, yes, we shall write you in with ink, because she's got a huge audience. So it was Jim Carrey was on there some months back, and I got that was the other episode I think I saw. Jim Carrey was on, and since I think Jim Carrey's funny, I watched it. She didn't make Jim Carrey cry. I think she was crying at one point. The audience might have been crying because Jim Carrey's had a kind of tough life, but I found it interesting. But the next day, no. I think it's become, in the publishing world, in the movie world, in the world of self-promotion, probably one of the places you must be if you're trying to promote something to women. She has launched careers. There's no two ways about that. Gary Zukav, she fairly well sells his books. Dr. Phil, where would Dr. Phil be if he had not been a regular on Oprah Winfrey's program? Marianne Williamson, she sells her books too. That's the other thing I was wondering about, the book club. She's got the Oprah Winfrey book club. You know, everybody gets to read through the same book, and then they sit around and they have a book club conversation about the book. Sometimes it's just a novel. Sometimes it's something spiritual. Does that appeal to you? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. It was either The Simpsons or Futurama or one of those shows that does a lot of parodies and satire that posited that in the future, Oprah Winfrey will have her own religion. It will just simply morph into a religion. It must have been Futurama, where they were talking about the Church of Oprah. She just very seamlessly went from being a Chicago news anchor to being a media mogul to being spiritual guru to so many women in the country that eventually it is a church. And that seems to be what Eugene Robinson was saying last week when he wrote this column for the Washington Post, Church of Oprah. We're watching it happen. We're watching Oprah transform. I mean, who knows? When she's gone, how do you replace her? You can't replace her. There's no heir apparent to this kind of an empire. You do wonder, I mean, I've watched the audiences. You do wonder what would happen if she were to suddenly say, you know, I've been doing television. She's probably been doing television for a better part of 25 years. I've been doing television for a long time. This is a daily grind. I'm tired. I've done everything that I can do, and I'm not going to do Oprah anymore. Now, certainly, they would probably try to syndicate reruns or do occasional primetime specials. But what would you do without Oprah? What would many women in the country do without Oprah? It's Open Lines, Issues, Etc. Our call-in numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. So far, the women who have called in have not been big Oprah fans, although all of them have been able to name something, at least one thing, that is appealing at some level about Oprah Winfrey. I want to hear from you as well. Kurt calls from his car. Kurt, welcome.
Pastor Todd, I've always thought that if you watch a person and notice how they spend their time and their money, that's their religion. And I guess my comment is, I'm a guy, of course, but who's got time to watch Oprah?
Well, a lot of people do.
A lot of people do.
Are you married, Kurt?
I am.
Okay, does your wife ever occasionally watch Oprah?
No, she's busy with kids.
Busy with kids. You're sure she doesn't watch Oprah?
Well, she may have a time or two.
I would have been surprised. I talked about my mother before.
Okay.
I would have been surprised if someone would have said, when your mom retires, she's going to start watching Oprah every afternoon. But, you know, laying my surprise aside, that's exactly what, at least as far as I can tell, has happened. And my mom is a very sensible woman. who probably knows better than much of what Oprah is saying, but she watches it. So you might want to ask your wife when you get home tonight, hey, honey, what was on Oprah? And if she can tell you, well, you can call me again. All right.
I would like to hear. I would also like to hear from some of the women in terms of what's the hook? What is it about Oprah that demands that people tune in? I tune into Issues, etc.
Obviously,
when it's on. But I would like to. I'll stay listening here.
All right. Thank you very much. You know, we consider this. Not to give too much away, we consider this, given the fact that this show is up against Oprah every afternoon. You know, we got to consider our radio competition. We try to counter program to our radio competition out there in the marketplace, and we're very thoughtful about this. This is not haphazard, believe me, folks. This is all very well designed, and we think about what we can talk about, when we can talk about it, and where we're going to put certain guests because of what's counter programming to what's going on in the rest of the market, our major competition, where people are listening on the radio. And you cannot discount something like, there are two things that you can't discount. Cardinals baseball will kill us if they're having a good season. And on television in the afternoon. I mean, they preempt Rush Limbaugh for Cardinals baseball. And 4 o'clock every afternoon, Oprah Winfrey. Might explain why half of our callers have been men during this hour as we're talking with women about the appeal of Oprah Winfrey. Gail calls from St. Charles. Gail, welcome.
Hi, thank you. There's a couple of things that crossed my mind, and one is that I noticed that the women that go to the Oprah Winfrey show dress to the nines, and they're fully made up, whereas I see a lot of women in churches today who look like they are either on their way to the beach or, you know, to a ball game or something, and don't give God a second thought about the fact that he's watching them, but they're very in tune that the TV cameras are going to be on when they're on Oprah. I also noticed that Oprah's close friends are Tom Cruise, John Travolta, and Kirstie Alley, all of whom are with the Church of Scientology, which has to color her thinking a little bit. And then the other thing I wanted to say was for the woman who thought that she would be very comfortable with Oprah in her home, if she had any contact with celebrities at all, she would know that celebrities don't give the average person the time of day. They don't give them a second thought. They really don't. They think of them as peons that are giving them a life that they dreamed of having and have attained. And I think Oprah is, finally, as a Christian woman, I think it's so offensive when she talks about she and Stedman and their living arrangements, and even went so far as to say that they had a daughter, which turned out to be their dog. But she used that as a tease to get people to watch her program. Yeah. So I think Oprah should be taken as an entertainer, enjoyed for an entertainer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gail, thank you very much. Your phone's just breaking up a little bit, and I thank you that she got a lot in it there in a very short amount of time. Okay, a couple things. You're right. Have you looked at Oprah's audience? I think that now this is just me. I opined once to my producer that I thought they screened the audience for looks. And that they definitely put the younger and prettier members of the audience up front for the camera close-ups, definitely, without a doubt. It's no coincidence. All the blondes and the beautiful people are down front, and then, you know, everybody looks okay. There are no real genuinely ugly people in that audience, unless it's a man. And they are so few and far between, and so out of place, and unless they're a guest. I mean, it's true. And then Gail's right to observe that, by contrast, the same women, if they're Oprah fans and churchgoers at the same time, might go to church in their sweats. But Oprah, got to be looking good for Oprah. I don't know. She raised the issue of Scientology. And I imagine that if Oprah Winfrey is a Scientologist, it could be. It is the religion to the stars. She could be. I don't think she'd ever say it, because that would put her into the kooky factor. And so for someone with mainstream, broad, middle-of-the-road appeal, you don't want any aspects of... Like if I told you I was... my hobby was wearing... which it isn't. If I told you that my hobby was wearing rainbow suspenders and juggling cats, you'd probably say, okay, now Wilkin is kookier than I thought he was. So I wouldn't tell anybody that I do that, even though I live for it. I live for it, folks. Tim's calling from his car. Tim, welcome.
Yeah, I've always noticed something, and it seems to me that in the world, that everybody that's popular or anything that's really popular with a lot of people, that in some way, either directly or indirectly, they promote worldliness against God, you know, whether it be they let the entertainers come on that think nothing about shacking up with, you know, all these different celebrities left and right, and then Oprah will promote them as being the greatest, you know, celebrity actor, singer, whatever, you know, all these. She had George Michael on there, and this guy was the greatest guy in the world. She had Prince on there, and, you know, he's the greatest guy in the world. And when I hear any show, it seems to me that either they're anti-God, they're pro-homosexual, there's something, there's, you know, and that's why they're allowed to be popular by the media in the first place.
All right, Tim, thank you. Well, you got to understand that Oprah is a image reviver. You go on her show, she will revive your image. She will do it. She'll do it for you. She is rather indiscriminate about the people she admires. She admires everybody. Well, with the exception of a woman who stands up in her audience and says, you know, Oprah, Jesus is the only way. The only way. And then she'll argue. Now, she'll only argue to a point. And then she refuses to have a religious argument, which I imagine that little comment was because the producers were telling her, come on, don't argue with your audience members. It's not an Oprah kind of thing to do. You know what I find more compelling even than the whole Oprah phenomenon? Is the fact that if you go into a lot of our churches today, Christian churches, they have become so much like the Oprah Winfrey Show. It has become so much like going there to bask in the presence of a magnetic personality, going there to have one's, well, as one of our listeners said, to hear what we want to hear, to be encouraged that, look, if Joel Osteen can do it, I guess I can do it too. It's all up to me, that we're looking for a theology, a God that is accessible rather than one that has come in human flesh to deal with our real problem, which is our sin and our alienation from God. You won't find that on Oprah Winfrey's show, and sad to say, you won't find it in a lot of churches, Christian churches, even today.
One of the mistakes that human beings make is believing that there is only one way to live.
That's
and
right.
That we don't accept that there are diverse ways of being in the world, that there are millions of ways to be a
then
human
how do you
being
please God?
And many ways, no, but many paths to what you call God. Okay, I can't get into a religious argument with you.
It's not religion, Oprah.
I can't get into a religious argument with you.
It was easy than to tell truth from lies, telling out from compromise. Love and who to hate, the foolish from the wise. But today there is no day or night. Today there is no dark or light. Today there is no black or white. Only shades of gray.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, etc.
Doctrine, justification, good works, worship, American evangelicalism. Sounds like a show lineup for Issues, etc. Well, all of these issues and more are covered in our Issues, etc. book of the month for May, titled The Fire in the Staff, Lutheran Theology in Practice. For more information, call Concordia Publishing House, their phone number 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can read an excerpt of The Fire and the Staff on our website, issuesetc.org. This Reformation resource costs $26.99 plus shipping and handling. It's written by Issues Etc. regular guest pastor Clement Preuss, 1-800-325-3040, or issuesetc.org. Does doctrine divide? Can doctrine be pure? And can you have evangelical style and Reformation substance? Find out with The Fire and the Staff, Lutheran Theology in Practice, our Issues Etc. book of the month for May.
This is Family News in Focus. I'm Bob Dittmer. There's a showdown playing out this week on Capitol Hill over Senate confirmation of President Bush's judicial nominees.
Republicans believe the nominee should get a simple up or down vote. Democrats are saying no to conservative Christian judges and are obstructing them by way of the filibuster. Bill Wilson has more.
It's a war of words with many meanings. Democrats are casting the debate in terms of fairness and constitutional interpretation, words that really mean religious discrimination and control over who fills Supreme Court vacancies. Senator Byron Dorgan of North Dakota accuses Republicans of a power grab.
Simply put, this is an abuse of power, and we will not stand for it.
Senate Minority Leader Harry Reid claims the president's nominees are radical.
They are bound and determined to put these radical judges ahead of everything else, even though it means breaking the rules to change the rules.
Reid says there's no room for conservatives in the judiciary, much less the Supreme Court.
This fight is not about the seven radical nominations. It's about clearing the way for a Supreme Court nominee who only needs 51 votes, not 60.
But Majority Leader Bill Frist says this is an issue of principle.
It's really pretty simple, and to me it's common sense, and it has to do with principle, and that is that each of these nominees deserve an up or down vote on the floor of the United States Senate.
The Democrats vow to fight, and Senator Reid has appealed for only six what he calls profiles in courage, that is, Republicans who can help him win the day. For Family News in Focus, I'm Bill Wilson in Washington.
Whether the Democrats can continue filibustering conservative judges may be determined by four or five moderate Republicans, Senators Chafee, Snowe, McCain, Warner, and Specter. Democrats think that group might vote with them. For Family News in Focus, I'm Bob Dittmer.
Have you tried and failed to live a purpose-driven life? Do your attempts to live a life that is pleasing to God fall so far short that you'd rather stay home from church? Then join Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, where the focus isn't on you, but on Christ, who was made sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is located at 612 North State Street in Freeburg. Their phone number, 618-539-5664.
Issues Etc. regular guest pastor Clement Preuss is the author of our Book of the Month for May, The Fire and the Staff. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Or you can find out more about this Reformation resource on our website, issuesetc.org. The Fire and the Staff, Lutheran Theology and Practice, our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May.
Does God use faith?
Surely.
Now, see, here's a sore spot. There are those who say.
Not with you.
No.
Not with God. In fact, I'm not sore at God at all, and I don't think he's sore at me. I don't know. I haven't done anything to him.
No, but the critics say God is God. He doesn't have to have faith. He doesn't exercise faith. He doesn't use faith. He's God. He's the object of faith.
Oh, wait a minute. What does that mean? I don't know what that means.
I don't either.
That's Paul Crouch, Jan Crouch, and then, of course, you heard the voice there of Kenneth Copeland on the Trinity Broadcasting Network. They were discussing how God has faith, God uses faith. We're going to be talking about that term, faith, and the term confession in the Word Faith movement with Bob Leko here in this 25 Minutes of Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Now, for the next 25 minutes, that's our conversation. We'll be talking about the laws of faith and confession in the Word Faith movement. Then, we've got a little bit open lines for your questions and your comments. Speaking of teachers that you might see on TBN, T.D. Jakes, he was the preacher in Dallas at the Global Day of Prayer service down there. It was a big event. He's a big name. What was it? Christianity Today called him at one point possibly the next Billy Graham. So we'll hear what T.D. Jakes had to say, a few things he had to say, in the next 25 minutes of Issues, Etc. We'll round off today's conversation with Pastor Clement Preuss, the conversation about good works. He's author of our Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for May, The Fire and the Staff, Lutheran Theology in Practice. Right now, Bob Leko is our guest. He is co-founder of Discernment Ministry International, based in Detroit. He's a regular guest on the program. He joins us here to talk about what he calls the fourth sacred cow of the Word Faith movement, the laws of faith and confession. He's got an article in the latest Truth Matters newsletter on that very subject. Bob, welcome back.
Well, thank you, Pastor Todd.
When we hear Word Faith teachers like Paul and Jan Crouch, Kenneth Copeland, and others use the term faith, use the term confession, are they using that term in the same way Scripture uses those terms?
No, not at all. In fact, that's one of the earmarks of an aberrant or cultic group, is that they use the same terms that Orthodox Christianity uses, but they redefine them. And when Word of Faith teachers such as Mr. Copeland use the word faith, they are talking about a spiritual force, a literal, tangible force that God has and God must use in order to create or do anything. In fact, they go as far as to say that faith is a law of the spirit realm. It's a spiritual law, and that God created everything by this force of faith, by enacting this spiritual law. And since we're created in His image and His likeness, we too then are to use the same spiritual laws that God does and use the force of faith, speak faith-filled words, and create our reality around them. In fact, I'll quote Mr. Copeland, since you just played a clip from him. He says, "We need to realize that the spiritual world and its laws are more powerful than the physical world and its laws. Spiritual law gave birth to physical law. The world and the physical forces governing it were created by the power of faith, a spiritual force. God, a spirit, created all matter, and He created it with the force of faith. Faith is a spiritual force, a spiritual energy, a spiritual power. It is this force of faith which makes the laws of the spirit world function. When the force of faith is put to work, these laws of the spirit function according to the way God says they will." So that's their definition of faith. Now, we as Orthodox Christians believe, and I just kind of chuckled when Copeland said, "What do you mean have faith in God? You know, what does that mean? I don't understand that. What do you mean the object of our faith?" And Jan said, "I don't know what that means either." It's humorous to me, because that's exactly what our faith is. We don't have faith in some mystical force, kind of, since Star Wars is coming out, you know, you've got the dark side and the light side, which could be your positive and negative confessions, I guess. And you, as the spiritual master, wield this force and create your reality. No, our faith, which simply means our trust, is in God and in Christ and what He has done on our behalf, as opposed to what we can conjure up on our own by the sheer force of our spiritual muscles. So there's a big difference when they say faith and when they say confession. Our confession, of course, is basically and very plainly stated in the creed, such as the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, what we believe about Jesus, about the Trinity, about salvation. When they say confession, they're speaking directly and referring directly to the words that they speak, not the words that God has spoken in the Bible, but what they speak and confess, which usually will hopefully be in their minds in accordance with the written word, but they speak those things in order to create what they want by picking and choosing certain promises out of the Bible and saying, "Well, you know, this is what I need, so I'm going to believe God for this, or I'm going to confess this and believe in my heart that it's going to come to pass and I'll have it." So faith and confession for them are totally different concepts than they are for you and I and most Christians.
Okay, let me see if I have this straight.
Okay.
So faith is, according to Word Faith teachers, a spiritual force or law to which even God must abide.
Absolutely.
And it sounds almost as though faith is something that exists apart from God Himself. I mean, it's a rule God has to follow.
Well, they never really think it through to that degree. And I've got a huge library amassed over the years, and people continue to send us more books, which I appreciate, by these guys, and they never think that far into it. And then if you logically think it through, then faith actually would have to be greater than God. Because if God is bound to use something outside of himself, then that force would have to be greater than God himself, logically. And of course, they don't think it through that far. They're simply parroting what they heard Hagen teach, who got it from E.W. Kenyon and Finis Dake and some other metaphysicians before them back in the early 1800s, which is really the source that Kenyon got his concepts from. And he's the father, of course, the Word of Faith movement. And he's the guy that got all of this started. But yeah, it would have to be something outside of God. It's a spiritual law that the universe operates by. In fact, Copeland is also on record as saying that the laws of the spirit will work for the saved person as well as the unsaved person, because they're laws. And whoever will enact these laws, just like the law of gravity, you jump off a building, whether you're saved or unsaved, you're going to fall. And that's exactly what Copeland would teach about spiritual law. They will work for whoever will work them. So the trick is you have to know what these laws are, and since they're laws of the spirit, they'll work better for you if your spirit's been recreated.
So is this why very, very recently Joel Osteen was interviewed in a popular national magazine, and he's got this book, Your Best Life Now, Seven Steps to Living at Your Full Potential. Joel Osteen comes from Word Faith pedigree. His dad was one of the leading lights, and Joel has kind of popularized these things. He talks about positive thinking, and he was quoted in this interview as saying, look, the book that he's written, Your Best Life Now, you don't have to be a Christian for this to work for you. This will work for anybody, Christian, unbeliever, atheist, Muslim. This is just the way the universe works.
Yeah, that is pure Word of Faith theology. The same thing went on with the Prayer of Jabez. That book was bought by tens of thousands of unbelievers. People were walking up and down the halls of Congress, in fact, reading that book and discussing it and trying to enlarge their tent pegs by using that little prayer as a mantra to bring about a change in their realities. Again, it was based loosely on this concept of spiritual law, and if you will pray the right prayer or say the right confession, ultimately it will lead to possession. And that's basically what the Word of Faith teaches. If you believe in your heart that you're going to receive a Cadillac and you confess it, you meditate on it, you visualize yourself behind the wheel of that Eldorado or that Hummer or whatever it is you want, and you really believe that and you confess it and you doubt not, you shall receive. And that's what the movement is can be boiled down to, and that's why it is so amazingly popular, because it panders to man's lowest carnal desires. It's not a question of using faith to please God. It's using faith, a force, to get things, and not a question of submitting your life to Christ, picking up your cross, and accepting life as it comes to you daily under his sovereign, providential, fatherly care. If you don't like the way things are going, then you're at fault to begin with, because you brought it on yourself by your negative confession or doubt and unbelief, or maybe you're not a tither. They've got a million excuses why these spiritual laws don't seem to be working in a lot of people's lives. They've got a million outs for why it's not working in their followers' lives, but it's just amazing to me how this whole teaching lacks any emphasis on Jesus, on serving him, on loving God with all of their hearts and their neighbors themselves. It's totally lacking in this teaching. This teaching is directed to you getting what you want, to fulfilling basically the American dream.
Does this explain why people outside the Word Faith movement, looking in at the leading lights of the movement, who are often very wealthy individuals?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with wealth, but often very wealthy individuals, often conspicuous in their consumption of luxury and whatnot, without any apology. People from the outside looking in say, man, this is like decadence. But the followers of the Word Faith movement say, no, you don't understand. This is what we would expect from someone who's really living by these laws of faith.
Oh, absolutely. This is their... These people have come to the place where their confession is working in their life. And so they live these great lives of opulence, owning many homes. Paul and Jan Crouchwell, the TBN Corporation, own over 30 homes, private jets, you know, multiple Rolls Royces, Bentleys, Mercedes, things of this nature. That is because, Todd, they have tapped into the spiritual law, and because of that, and because of their confession, God is well pleased with them, and so when they speak these things forth, they come to pass. One thing that Creflo Dollar is famous for saying, his two little words, money cometh, and that's sort of his confession, and you know, it's like a Ponzi scheme. It works for the guys at the top. If you're at the top of the pyramid and you've got an arena of 10,000 people and you take an offering, and out front you've got 100 book tables with piles of your books and tapes on how to get power with God, increase your anointing, release your spiritual abilities and gifts, and become healthy, wealthy, and wise. So not only do they receive an offering, they sell all these books and tapes and then stand up in front of their people and say, see, people that come against the prosperity gospel are just ignorant because it's obviously working in our lives. They're just jealous. They have a religious spirit. I mean, these are things I get in emails every day. They're just accusing the brethren because we are really moving with God and they're stuck in dead formalism and religion. But it's obvious that this is a truth because, look, we're wealthy people and we're healthy people for the most part, which is patently untrue, and that's the June issue of Truth Matters. We will be dealing with the sacred cow of the fact that it is God's will always to heal you, and they preach that as well. Not only wealth, but divine health is your right as a child of God.
Now, one thing I find curious before we go on to talk about a little bit more about the law of faith and confession and the Word Faith movement, Bob, is a slight inconsistency. It might be a little more than slight, and that is, when there is public scrutiny of the great wealth amassed by Word Faith teachers, they often say, well, wait a minute, this isn't my personal wealth, this isn't my personal house, this isn't my personal car, this isn't my personal yacht, second home, beach home, whatever. The ministry owns it. Now, see, I'm wondering if the evidence of these people being anointed is that they can claim wealth into their lives and actually possess it. And if the goal is to show forth their anointing by actually being able to make themselves wealthy by positive confession, why do they back off and say the ministry owns it when there's public scrutiny? Why don't they say, yeah, I'm a faith-filled anointed teacher, and I do own all this stuff, and you can just go jump in a lake?
Well, you know, Todd, the Bible says that we're to be harmless as doves, but wise as serpents. And so we don't want to render unto Caesar any more than Caesar has coming to him. That's why we create all of these nonprofit corporations. And then in many of these ministries' cases, Benny Hinn is a very good example, may have as many as 5 or 6 or 7 sub corporations and umbrella corporations underneath them that money is funneled into, that then is used to purchase these homes that are their parsonages. The jets, of course, belong to the ministry, but the, say, Copeland, who owns a jet, and Benny has a private jet, as do the Crouches, and all the bigwigs have their own jets. They are at the exclusive use of the minister and the minister's family. And frankly, all of these ministries' boards of directors, the president, vice president, secretary, secretary and treasurer are usually the family members. It'll be like Kenneth may be the president, Gloria would be the vice president, their daughter or son would be the secretary or son-in-law or someone be the treasurer. So the control is always kept and held tightly by the family that the ministry is named after, whether it's T.D. Jakes, Benny Hinn Ministries, Creflo Dollar, you know, World Changers International, Fred Price, all of these things. You go and do some research on the internet and look into who runs the corporation. It's the family. And so to shield themselves from paying taxes, they say, oh, no, we don't own these things. It's kind of like the Pope. You know, the Pope has a vow of poverty, yet probably lives better than the Queen of England. Not bad for somebody that has, you know, owns literally nothing. That's sort of the way these guys operate, although they do get salaries, and they pay themselves very handsomely. I don't know of any of the major Word of Faith teachers who are making less than $1 million a year. And that's aside from all of the free use of the jets, the cars, and the homes, which they pay nothing for.
I just don't understand. I mean, if the witness to their anointing is their ability to speak wealth into their lives, then you would think they'd want to admit that they personally own the stuff.
Well, you would think so, but what's even more amazing to me, Todd, is the fact that these people have been teaching this nonsense now since... I'll lay it at the feet of Oral Roberts for the most part, let's say 1950. So we're talking 50 years. Why aren't their followers then? Why don't we see a superabundance of multimillionaires who have been following and practicing to the best of their ability this type of teaching for 10, 20, 30, 40 years, and they still have not receive the manifestation of their great wealth and health and all of these things that they've been promised for years? So that's what really amazes me, is that people would continue to follow these guys when it's not working. It can't be demonstrated to be true in the lives of their followers.
Bob, tell us about, as one who used to be a follower of this, tell us about what we have discussed so often here, the tyranny that comes to rule a person's life when they think they're living by the laws of faith and confession. It's a two-edged sword. You can positively confess. You can also negatively confess.
Oh, absolutely. And this was a great fear. And, of course, we know that the force of fear is the opposite of the force of faith, and they sort of yin and yang can cancel each other out. But let's say I'm confessing for my healing. Let's say I have the flu. And I say, well, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. I rebuke you, Satan, you know, get out of my body. I don't consider my body. I look to the Word of God and His promise. I deny these symptoms have any right to be in me. And so I'm confessing that for a day or two, and maybe my wife comes by and says, gee, hon, you know, you don't look very good. I go, yeah, I don't feel too good. Whoa, I just nullified every good confession I made. I just dug up my seed, the positive seed of God's promise that I've been planting in my spirit. Not my mind, mind you, because I am a spirit. I have a soul, and I just live in a body. This body is not the real me, according to their belief system. So I just dug that up. Now, the problem is, on a pastoral level, is that when you come and you see someone in the hallway or in your church, and you go to them, as I have, and say, how are you doing? Well, Reverend Lico, I'm blessed in the city, brother. I'm blessed in the field. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. You know, praise God. You know, and you go, okay. Well, and you don't really understand the fact, or you don't know as a pastor, that the guy's marriage is crumbling, his family's disintegrating. There's all kinds of issues that they cannot just honestly say, look, man, I'm hurting. If you say that, then you've just given credence and reality to what the enemy is trying to put on you or bring into your life. You know, it's like Hagin said, I haven't had a headache in 40 years. Now, I've had symptoms of a headache, but I've never had a headache. So to me, that's just folly, but that was his thing. He would never confess that he actually had a headache, only symptoms. Well, he recently died, but I don't believe he had symptoms of death. I think he actually died, really, really and truly graveyard dead, assumed room temperature. you know, so it's just amazing to me, again, as I say, that people would believe this and follow this type of teaching and see none of it manifesting in their own lives. And really, apart from the financial wealth that these false teachers garner to themselves because of shearing God's gullible sheep, all of their other teachings as far as divine health and healing, it doesn't work for them either. But they put on this mask that it, of course, is working for them. And this leads to tragic results again in the lives of their followers because they go, wow, well, they really are healthy. You know, just like Moses, who was 80-some years old, and his strength wasn't abated, and his eyesight wasn't dim, and, oh, there's Brother Copeland, he's, you know, in his 60s, and he doesn't wear glasses. Well, they don't know that he had LASIK, you know, and he's not going to tell them that. So as far as they know, his eyesight isn't dimming, you know, he doesn't have to wear glasses like the rest of us, because he's a man of faith and power. And you just don't know, unless you get behind the scenes, that these guys are just like us. And the only thing they've got going for them is they've got a bunch of gullible people that have desperate needs in many cases, and out of desperation will give to these sinistries, I call them. I don't call them ministries, I call them sinistries. That's a term I got from Paul Belli, a good brother in St. Louis there. And that's the problem. The people believe this stuff, and it doesn't work for them. Yet the leaders put on this front that, oh, yeah, all this stuff is working in our lives. Folks, and it really isn't.
Folks, you can check out the website for Discernment Ministry International. Just go first to our website, issuesetc.org. Right there on the side, you'll find links. Click on that. Scroll down. You'll find Bob Leko and Discernment Ministry International. Or you can call them at area code 313-446-1761. Ask to receive Bob Leko's Truth Matters newsletter. Area code 313-446-1761. Bob, thanks for being our guest.
Well, Pastor Todd, keep up the good confession of faith, my brother, in Christ and Him alone.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bob Leko. Now, one of the things that you might note with Word Faith teachers is that they have, for the most part, a complete lack of formal theological training, which accounts for why they can buy into these teachings, these errors get passed down from generation to generation, from teacher to teacher. When you don't have the acumen to test it against God's word, what are you going to do? You don't have the theological education, the likes of which you could have at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Solid biblical training that will help any man training for the pastoral ministry to steer clear of the aberrations like word faith error. For more information on Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, true biblical training in the pastoral ministry, call them toll free 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or go to our website, issuesetc.org. When we come back, open lines, we'll hear from T.D. Jakes preaching at the Global Day of Prayer in Dallas on Sunday. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.